I'm a bus kid. I was born and raised in the city of Chicago. I don't like saying I was a bus kid. I am a bus kid.
Amen.
And my wife's a bus kid. I'm from Chicago. She's a bus kid from California. And she accepted the Lord out there riding a church bus. And I accepted the Lord riding a church bus. And then God brought us together in his will to plant a church. And so I'm excited about your theme. And I'm going to try to preach along those lines of loving your church. And the Lord gave me a message entitled, "If I Were Looking for a Church, What Kind of Church Would I Look For?" Take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And I've been here long enough to know that this is the type of church that I believe with all my heart that God would complement. Just the spirit. And no church is perfect. I pastor a church, and I know that very well. There is no perfect church. Every church has problems. But you're standing for the truth of the Bible. The King James Bible. And you haven't put your hymn books away. And you're preaching God's word. And praise the Lord, you're winning souls. And so, if I were looking for a church, what kind of church would I look for? I'm convinced that there are some churches in the New Testament that were better than others. And part of the reason I believe that is just the book of Revelation, the seven churches, that would convince us of that. And if I lived in the first century, I believe that I would have wanted to be a member of the church at Thessalonica. And so I want to use a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I believe it's important for us to know what type of church we ought to be and remain. It's important for you to know, not just be here because it's a place to be, but what type of church you should want to be a member of. It won't be a very deep theological message. It'll be a very practical message to let you know what type of church I believe Old Pass Baptist Church should be and remain. The type of church you would want to be a member of. Before we read the text, I've made up my mind that there are some churches I do not want to be a member of. And the first type of church is the church that greets people with a holy kiss. I'm sorry, folks, but I just don't believe that this is the day and age to just be kissing on anybody. Amen? Amen. Secondly, I wouldn't want to be a member of the church that makes their services a dance floor. We've got to be careful. And I like amens. And sometimes when the preaching gets good, I get so riled up that my holding back straps are ready to break. I like emotion, but you can go too far. And a lot of emotion without devotion just gives you commotion. And there's a lot of commotion in our churches today. And praise God, some of these people will make it to heaven if they don't run past it. Again, some churches I would not like to be a member of, but I believe this one in Thessalonians I would. So let's stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If I were looking for a church, what kind would I look for? Here it is, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. There's a lot in that chapter. That's a good church. That's the type of church I'd want to be a member of. We need our churches to be, as is explained in Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. If I were looking for a church, what type would I look for? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I need your help to preach. Father, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help and encouragement and challenge. But Lord, I can do nothing in my flesh. But I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would meet with us. Be with me as the preacher. Be with those that are listening in the pew. God, meet with us tonight. We do believe that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Father, I pray that you'd encourage some. I pray that you challenge and convict. Lord, bless the preached word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Churches in 2019 are a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. I don't care where you go in the old USA, you're going to see churches. Some neighborhoods on every corner. If you go north to the Canadian line, you're going to find churches. You go south all the way down to the Rio Grande, you're going to find churches. East, west, you'll find churches. This is a day of churches. Big churches, little churches. Beautiful churches, ugly churches. Poor churches, rich churches. Hot churches, cold churches. Growing churches, like this one, and dying churches. Churches are as plentiful as Chevrolets. Churches are as abundant as Coca-Cola. I'm simply saying that you can't go anywhere and not see a bunch of churches. In Chicago, I could take you up and down certain streets where those streets are just lined with churches. Storefront churches. On one street, it's literally from the Dan Ryan Expressway to Midway Airport, church, bar, church, bar, church, bar, all the way down. Churches are everywhere. This is a day of churches. But wait, how do you choose the right one? How do you love that right one? How do you know what is the best church? How do you know the church that's going to touch your heart, that's going to stir your soul and move you for the things of God? Boy, as a father, I think about this. How do we know which is the best church for our family? The credible ministry that we can attend. How do we know the church that's going to build us up spiritually? I believe that all of us would agree, sadly, that we live in a day of shipwrecked ministries. And it breaks our heart, but it doesn't do any good to ignore the fact. Shipwrecked ministries. Many have overextended themselves financially with debt. And because of that, they become a stain and a reproach on their community. Many churches, even our good independent fundamental Baptist churches, are in a reproach stage because their pastor has fallen into sin, has fallen into immorality. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, it breaks my heart. What are the people in the pew going to do if our share must keep falling? Pray to wickedness. We need to uphold God's qualifications for the pastorate, friend. Some are where they've got pastor who has stayed far too long. His get up and go has gotten up and gone. And he's gotten up in age and he's decided he's going to die as pastor. And he really doesn't care if the church dies along with him. He's just going to drag it down in his old age. We live in a day of shipwrecked ministries. I praise God, I've never really had to choose a church. God has literally put me where he wanted me to be. And that's a glorious thing when you let him do the choosing. And the first church was a church that picked me up out of the projects of Chicago with a church bus. I praise God that he put me in that body. And the second one was when I went off to Bible college and I got into that local church and I served and I listened to a gray-haired man get up and preach the Bible and the power of God, and it changed my life. And then the third one was the church that we had the privilege of starting in Chicago. Those are the only three churches, Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago, right there on the south side. Barack Obama's mansion's there. Louis Farrakhan's mansion's there. Bill Ayers is there. I ran into Nancy Pelosi, Jesse Jackson. All of those charlatans and jokers are right there in Chicago. And I had no idea that God wanted an independent fundamental Baptist church in that neighborhood. What kind of church would we all want to be a member of? Listen to me. Put more importance on the church you join than the house that you buy. It's not really important what type of house you live in. It's not really important what type of car you drive. It's not really important how much money you have in your bank account. But it is deadly important what church you are a member of. You join a weak church and you're going to start to die. You're going to start to rot on the vine, friend. I promise you won't change that church. That church will change you. Churches are important. Go with me to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. When we started the church, I got a little frustrated because before we started the church, God gave us a meeting place for the church before he gave my family a place to live. And I said, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. We found a place to hold services. I don't have a place for my family to live. And I didn't understand until God gave me this verse. Genesis chapter 26, verse number 25. Again, talking about Isaac, Genesis 26, 25. The Bible says, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. Before his own tent came the altar of the Lord. Worship was before the place where he laid his head. Amen. You see, church is the place where you're going to get in touch with heaven. Church is the place where you're going to find the power of God on your life. What I'm saying tonight is church is important. What are the qualities you ought to look for in a church? What are the characteristics of God's church in the Bible? What are the calling cards of a Bible-believing church? Some people look for the wrong things in churches. I see it all over America. I didn't ask for it, but the Lord has given me opportunities to get out and preach and to see other ministries. And what is it that people are looking for in churches today? Some are looking for the wrong things. Some people are looking for the financial advantages that that church will offer. How can they sell their wares in that assembly? How can they network with other people for business sake? That's the wrong reason to look for a church. Some are looking for social opportunities. They've got their eye on elected office. They're political minded. And they can get in and mix in the church and get contacts. That's the wrong reason. I've heard many people say this. I want to be in a place with people my own age. My own group. Fellowship is important. But it's not the most important thing. Right. Or a super music program. I have knocked on people's doors in Chicago, Pastor. And I've invited them out to Cornerstone Baptist Church, and I've had them look at me and say, how's your choir? And they were going to gauge their visit based on if we had a good choir.
Yeah.
I love music, but music is not the most important thing.
Amen.
How can we know what kind of church we ought to be looking for? Well, there's no better place to go than the Word of God, the Bible.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to do tonight. It won't be very deep, practical theology. I'm just going to show you what I would be looking for if I were looking for a church. Number one, a church that is consistently, continually fulfilling the great commission of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ left this world, he did not tell his disciples, build a monument of brass in my image, something that looks just like me. He knew they would fall down and worship that image. When Jesus Christ left this earth, he didn't tell the disciples, build me a great building. There's nothing wrong with a beautiful church building, and you have it. You're outgrowing it, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with a beautiful church building. God gave us in Chicago a beautiful, old, historic church building. And I got excited about that. But he never, ever gave the disciples instructions on how to have a church building. In fact, he said the Spirit of God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He knew that the buildings could become a golden calf and that people would dance around the building and substitute the building worship for true worship of God. And in many cases, that's exactly what has happened. He did not leave instructions on how to build great hospitals, orphanages, retirement centers, missions. I'm not against any of those things. But brother, let me tell you something. He died for the church. Acts 20:20 says he redeemed the church with his own blood. And the only thing that Jesus left us to do is to take a message to every neighborhood. Every door. Every village. Every town. Every city. In the far-flung corners of this earth. And if I were looking for a church, one of the first things I would look at is how they're treating the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Both at home and abroad.
Yes, sir.
Not using the support abroad to substitute for what they should be doing at home.
Amen.
Very important. Lots of people have transferred their responsibility to win souls to the missionaries. And they said, boy, we support X amount of missionaries. Well, whose door are you knocking on? That's what I want to know. No. God didn't ordain that. We should support the missionaries, but we need to reach our Jerusalem at the same time. At the same time. So what did Jesus ordain? Where are we going to tell somebody next? Where are we going to establish a church next? What field? What family? That's the Great Commission. And I would not join a church. I would not support a church. I would not give money to a church. I would not give time to a church that was neglecting and abusing the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, go, and I wouldn't be part of a church that wasn't going.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. I heard a pastor tell the true story of a church that spent $170,000 on a chandelier in their foyer. $170,000. There are missionaries having a hard time on the field. There are pastors struggling to get works off the ground. There are Bible colleges trying to build teachers and preachers. All the needs in the world. And I'm afraid that if I were to put $170,000 into a chandelier, God would drop kick me over the moon, and I deserve it. The Great Commission. If I were looking for a church, number two, I'd be looking for a church that would feed me a steady diet of energizing, nourishing, watch me now, soul food. Amen, soul food. A church that fed me. I would not join a church that just fed me food that tastes good. Now, you're looking at a preacher that loves to eat. And some of you love to eat too. I can see it under your chin. But you know what I found? Most food that I eat that tastes good isn't good for me. That's a problem. It's junk food. We've got a whole lot of churches today that are in the business of serving up junk food. Junk food. And they're led by their leader, Mr. Hostess himself, Joel Osteen. Junk food. Now, I know what junk foods are physically because I love them very much. I love pizza. And when you come to Chicago, you've got to try our deep dish pizza. It takes an hour to make it, but it's worth every minute. How many of you had deep dish pizza? You know what I'm talking about. Giordano's. Come on! Hey, listen. It's not just because of my skin. I love fried chicken. Yep. Italian beef. Does anybody here know what an Italian beef sandwich is?
Yes, sir.
He even knows what it is. If you don't know what an Italian beef sandwich is, you need to have a little bit of heaven before you get to heaven. Dipped with jardinera peppers. Dip, triple dip in the au jus. I like McDonald's fries. I'll order my burger from Burger King and drive across the street to McDonald's to get their fries. Donuts, ice cream, Cold Stone Creamery, birthday cake remix. Ooh. Mexican food. I love it. But there's a problem when churches are in the business of serving up junk food. A big problem. What about the food of this book? The nourishing food. I'm talking about theology. Now, I'm having fun tonight, but I'm talking about theology and doctrine. Correction. Reproof. We've gotten to a point in our churches where the preacher and the other members of the church can't even reprove one another. How on earth are you going to keep the church clean if you're not reproving? People today can't handle reproof. Keeping in the Word of God, Sunday school, Sunday night. Our churches are trimming their schedule to go along with the emerging church. We don't need less church, friend. We need more. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Pastor Lewis, what are some of the ways we can know if a church is feeding the flock? How do we know if they are giving them the right soul food? Number one, do people come? You know how I choose a good restaurant? When I see the line is out the door, I say to myself, something in there is good. And when I came here this afternoon on a Monday afternoon, the parking lot was so full. I had to go and park way down the street. You know what that tells me? Something good's being served up. Number two, do the members talk about the food that they get? It's just like bragging on mama's cooking. Man, you get something good and you talk about it amongst members. The church should talk about the preaching. You should come here on Sunday morning and sit and listen. And boy, have a pen and some paper and be ready to capture something for memory's sake. Taste the food. See if it's the kind of food you need. Does it produce growth in your life? Man, does it give you a little bit of pep to get up in the morning and go to work? Charles Spurgeon said, I wouldn't give you a dime for a stale church. He said, some churches are like old dry wells. Nothing in them but some dead cats and some dry leaves. A man gets on one verse of the Bible and stays there for a whole year. Listen to me. Variety is the spice of life. And if the food you're getting doesn't energize you to do something for God, you're getting the wrong food. Now, that message that the brother just preached, Brother Barnum, did I get that right? It energized me to do something for God. That's soul food. That's the real soul food, friend. Don't go to a church that just gives you junk food. Don't go to a church just to say you're in church. Choose a church that feeds you the Word of God. steady diet. Number three, a church that would build a wall of protection around my children. So important. I've got three little girls. In this wicked world, I must have them in a church that's going to build a wall of protection around them through their children's ministries. I thank the Lord for Vacation Bible School. I stumbled into Vacation Bible School as a project kid in 1990. I was 11 years old. I got tricked into going to Vacation Bible School. And I got kicked out of Vacation Bible School. But I came back the next day and I haven't left since. Praise the Lord. But praise God for a church that had a Vacation Bible School and ran a bus, had a junior church, Sunday school, took me out camping, took me to camp. And all the messages and the verses that built a wall of resistance around me to the evil of our day. A church that will teach your children what sin is. Amen. The anatomy of temptation and how to deal with temptation and wickedness. And how sin is going to wreck their life if they don't get the victory of it. And how they ought to hate sin. Boy, when we think of sin, we think of the nightclubs and we think of Las Vegas and the bars and the public schools. But there's a whole lot of sin in churches today. Amen. A whole lot of sin. Yeah. All the sexual sins. And the right type of church is going to make young people that are messing with that sin feel uncomfortable. We need those type of churches. Young Timothy, scholars suppose he might have been around 15 years old when he got saved. No one knows for sure. But by the time the Apostle Paul wrote of this young man, he wrote that he was well reported of. In other words, he had his direction settled. He had his morality settled. He knew where he was going. He was solidified in his goals. And the Apostle Paul could write to him, flee youthful lusts. Yeah. Yeah. Immorality is really, 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 really wreaking havoc in our churches. Yeah. And I've asked myself why. I've asked myself that since I was a bus kid. Why is it that we're having these problems in our churches? And I've come to the conclusion that we have just taken 1 Timothy chapter 3 and made it optional. Yeah. 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 And if we have wickedness in the pulpit, you tell me what we're going to have in the pew. Amen. And so I say as a pastor, I tell my people, I said, let me turn to the chapter that pastors don't want to preach on. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is what I'm supposed to be. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless, but the Bible says blameless. Blameless. And you know what would help keep some of the sin out of our churches? Is if we held our leadership to that standard. If he's not blameless, according to the Bible, he's disqualified. Simple as that. We need to keep the sin out of our churches. We should be teaching the young people to flee youthful lusts. Now, I grew up in a charismatic church, a Pentecostal church. I grew up in that way. I did not hear the gospel. I learned some Bible. But I'm telling you, when they would get going, that building would just be moving. Yeah. The building would be shaking, man. You could feel it. And the steeple would be moving and the bass and all of that. But I found out, I was always trying to be observant. I found out that while the parents were moving and bopping and running around the auditorium in the church, the kids were out in the car, in the parked cars, doing things that they ought not have been doing and having much less than Sunday school thoughts. Yeah. Now, why weren't those kids in the church, amen, sitting with their parents, amen, hearing the word of God? Yeah. We've got to keep our children under the word of God. And if I were looking for a church, I would make sure that was a church that would protect my children from this wicked world. Fourth, if I were looking for a church, I would look for a church that would give me something to do. Something to do. Christianity is a doing ministry. When Saul of Tarsus got saved, his first words were, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The theme of Titus is good works. We're not saved by our works, but we're certainly saved unto good works. And I need to be in a ministry that's going to keep me busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if I'm not busy for the Lord, Satan's going to try to give me something to do. That's a good reason to get busy for the Lord. And no church is a good church unless it's a workshop. No church is a good church unless it's a beehive of activity for the Lord Jesus Christ. No church is a good church unless it's exerting spiritual sweat for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do something for the Lord. Christ gave the Great Commission to the church. And you are not right if you're not serving the Lord in His church. Yes, sir. The real reason some don't work for Christ is they don't want to get their hands dirty. They want an easy job. They don't want to do an odd job. They want to be an Indian. They want to be an Indian, but they want to be a chief Indian. Well, around a good church, you earn your position with faithfulness. In our church, we don't care who you are. If you're not going to be faithful, you can't be on our front stream. Faithfulness is important. Because if you're not faithful, you'll give every child in this church the idea that they can serve God and be unfaithful. And I don't see that in the Bible. It just filters down to the youth if we don't hold our leadership at a standard. You can't provide faithfulness. You can't provide a testimony of holiness. Then you're not given a job to do. But when you provide that testimony, there's a whole lot to do. When you provide that desire, there's a whole lot to do. We're not in this for our own glory. We're not in this for applause. Don't applaud. Don't applaud me. Don't applaud a preacher. I'm in this because God called me to preach. You see? And washing baptistry garments, is that beneath you? Cleaning a toilet here at the church, is that beneath you? So many people want a ready-made position with gravy all over it. They want a marshmallow ministry. Give me something easy to do. You know, there's a whole lot to do if you'll visit some little kids on Saturday. My bus captain knocked on my door every Saturday. Humanly speaking, I would not be standing here. He knocked on my door every Saturday and left me a Bible verse and a piece of Pal bubblegum. You remember Pal bubblegum? Oh yeah, I had a lot of Pal bubblegum. And if I was outside riding my bike, sitting right on top of the television set when I got home was my Bible verse, because my mom was home, my Bible verse and my piece of Pal bubblegum. Friend, there's a whole lot for you to do if you're willing to visit a little kid on Saturday. Plenty of jobs, but they'll cost you something. Number five, a church where they stewarded my money. If I were looking for a church, I would want a church that would protect my money from misuse and abuse, that would invest my money as far as it would go, that would ensure and assure that my money would be spent for the gospel's sake. And that one day I would see my money again, because I'd get to heaven and I would see the souls of those that were saved through that ministry. Can I preach tonight? I believe that many pastors are living too high on the hog. Amen. I believe with all my heart that the men of God should be taken care of. If they preach the gospel, they should live of the gospel. I believe that preachers and missionaries ought to be comfortable, but a balance is needed. You turn on the television set today and you find these pastors living in million-dollar homes. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. I don't believe that Jesus had a change of clothes. I don't believe he had a different pair of shoes. He certainly didn't have a phone number, a social security number, or a bed. Hey, we got to reach our world for Christ. I'm so thankful for churches. I went around and I told you I was in 80 churches, and the churches were so generous. and we needed X amount of money to survive on the south side of Chicago. Expenses are really, really high. And the churches were so generous, and I praise the Lord for that. And listen, because those 40 churches invested in Chicago, there is a thriving, independent, fundamental Baptist church there that's winning souls. Praise the Lord! Money can ruin a preacher. You can disagree with me if you want, but I've traveled to different countries around the world, and I've had the privilege of seeing some good missionaries doing a good work for God on the foreign field. But I also believe with all my heart that a whole lot of missionaries are worthless. You say, explain that. Well, a man will raise $5,000 a month, $6,000 a month, $8,000 a month. And he'll go over there and won't write letters back. He'll go over there and have just a Sunday morning service and do nothing else. His ministry is Sunday morning. And he'll pastor a church of five people making $8,000 a month. And then he'll leave that for furlough and come home and leave it with the national and go around all of our churches and collect love offerings. I'm telling you, in many cases, it's a racket.
Amen.
We need to be careful that we're stewarding God's money properly. And praise God when we put it in the right place, like a church where we can see where it's going.
Amen.
That there are no stock market crashes in heaven. Amen. There'll be a return, treasure in heaven, and crowns to cast at His feet.
Amen.
Then my last point. If I were looking for a church, I'd look for a church that would provide me with a fitting funeral. Now you laugh. It is kind of funny. But I have run into so many people that they die, they don't have anybody to come together and meet with the family at the funeral home. And funeral homes will take advantage of people left and right.
Yeah, that's right.
And I ask people, who's gonna bury you? You know, who's gonna preach your funeral? What do you have? You don't have a home church. Christians ought to die a right kind of way.
Amen.
And a funeral ought to be the right type of funeral.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I've been to some funerals where I had said to myself, I'm glad that guy's not my preacher. Because he didn't even care enough to prepare the funeral message right. And if he did, a five-year-old boy helped him.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question. Does the church you are a member of meet the qualifications? If not, you are in the wrong church.
Amen.
With the wrong pastor. If it does meet those qualifications, and I wouldn't be here if I didn't think it did, you are blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
But with every blessing comes a huge responsibility.
Yes, sir. Here we go.
Right. You say you're preaching to the choir. Choir members get backslidden too.
Yes.
And they need to be reminded.
Mm-hmm.
What I understand. I saw that little bus out there. Can I ask you this? Whose door did you knock on last week to try to get onto it?
Yeah.
Come on now. That's good.
I'm a bus kid.
I like it.
I'm prejudiced when it comes to the bus ministry. I really am. It's in my blood.
Amen.
What can you do? What can you do to get behind that ministry to reach some kids who have no hope outside of you knocking on their door? What son or daughter are you trying to hide in this church?
Yeah.
Instead of letting their faults emerge so that they can be dealt with. What lowly job have you been inwardly crabbing about? Hmm? What lowly job in the church do you think is beneath you? We're all members of the body and we all have a function.
Amen.
How can the church faithfully steward your tithe if you don't give it?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
How about when you're in your car and you turn on that radio station to that liberal preacher and inwardly you're craving some junk food preaching when you know you need it straight?
Yeah.
Come on now. God's given you a good church. Dig in. Plant your roots and grow. Preacher.
Amen.